the messages on screen, the written audio that the information becomes available. This station will now see you on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your dirty little ear holes.
Let's get it in there.
Let's do it. Let's get it right as deep as we can get it.
Yep.
Cameron, how the heck are you, buddy?
We're good.
Yeah?
We got to see each other like five times a day.
I know. What's going on with that? Been hanging out like we're pals or something.
No.
You know?
It was all business.
Yeah, it was business.
There was no there was no friendship.
No.
Kobe's a big wig now.
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what I am. What is the plan for the podcast today?
Well, we figured since it's nice and hot outside and everywhere around us is burning down and everybody's dying.
Yes.
There's tons of wildfires, so we figured, hey, why don't we talk about how to survive home fires?
Home fires.
How about wildfires?
Wildfires.
Maybe fire in your pants. Ooh. And survival
fire
world.
Crotch.
Yep.
Yep. All those things.
So, yeah, we wanted to give you some tippers about how to stay alive.
Exactly. We also got like reviews upon reviews upon reviews. We got like
Trace.
We got the big three today. We got survival boxes. We've got battle boxes.
Hi-yo.
And we got Tac Pack. Speaking of Tac Pack, today's podcast is brought to you by Tac Pack.
Speaking of Tac Pack,
the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first Tac Pack when you use our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. Join the thousands of satisfied subscribers and do it today. Get 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com.
These are real life items that you can put on your guns.
So yeah, exactly.
You really should check it out.
I keep saying this, but if you are in any way are an AR guy, you have to get Tac Pack.
Yeah.
Especially today's. Oh, Cam's probably going to cream his panties when he sees it.
Probably.
That's what I think is going to go on, really.
Ain't nobody using these panties for filtration.
Yeah, exactly.
Listener, reviews starts now.
You want me to, or you want to go for it?
I'll go for it. I'll butcher this
one. Go ahead. Do it.
This one actually brought a tear of laughter to my eyeball when I read it.
Yeah.
Albie Zoe or Zoe?
I don't know.
Albie Zoe. Anyways.
5 stars from Facebook. This was a Facebook one.
This occurred on May 16th.
Yeah, it's been a while. I don't know how we missed this one.
I don't either.
Whatever.
All right. If you guys crave sweet survival goodness directly to your dirty little ear holes, then these guys will pleasure you better than your neighbor sucking on your sprinkler head. I have learned basic survival skills such as dealing with aliens as tall as Reagan without succumbing to Dimitri's fate. Holy shit, Dimitri's gone.
Holy shit, Dimitri gone.
Oh, yeah. And collecting a ton of shower sex water and toilet paper.
Shower sex water.
Because of Casual Preppers. I am the most prepared prepper on Chicken Noodle Soup Street. All jokes aside, these two provide down-to-earth know-how about screw-up situations, all done with funny redneck voices.
Good gracious.
Man, he like hit on all the some of the funniest crap that
it's stuff that I forget about
Me
sometimes,
too.
Man.
I forgot about the Reagan. Oh, no. He has Reagan.
Holy shit, Dimitri gone. And the chicken noodle soup. I don't even remember where that came from, but it was fun.
Weird street name.
Yeah.
Chicken Noodle Soup Street.
So if you guys want to be a part of this portion of the podcast, go to Facebook, go to iTunes, go to the Kindle book on Amazon, leave us a 5-star review, and make it awesome.
Social media shout out.
Yeah, social media shout out. We're shouting out at State of Emergency Podcast. This is a brand new, well, somewhat new podcast on iTunes and all the places you get podcasts. But these dudes are, they're in some ways like emergency professionals. I think maybe like emergency managers or something like that. I don't know exactly. I only listened to one podcast, but it was pretty dang good. So go ahead and check it out. At State of Emergency Podcast, we're always looking for new stuff in the prepping and survival genre. And they're pretty dang good.
It's true.
Yeah.
We are.
It's a mad, mad world.
So, Cameron, I read an article this past week, and it was pretty glorious. And now,
you showed me a picture.
I want to tell you about it right now.
Okay.
So here is the headline of the article. China claims to have a laser AK-47 that can set people on fire from a half mile away.
So,
no. I'm like,
can you imagine your whole front line just ignites? Well, what just happened? Everybody's on fire.
I'm like, I read this.
From how far away?
Half a mile.
What the
frick? Yeah, so dubbed as the ZKZM-500, the laser assault rifle reportedly has similar dimensions to an AK-47. Researchers claimed that from
God, ZKZ-500.
Oh, Tyran, these suckers.
I'll start a fire.
Researchers claim that from up to 800 meters away, the gun's lasers can burn through target skin and even set them on fire if their clothes are flammable.
Ow. What in the heck's
what's going
on?
Oh, they did not even know what happened to him. He's on fire now. According to the scientist who spoke to the Post, the 15-millimeter caliber weapon weighs about 6.6 pounds and is powered by rechargeable lithium-ion batteries similar to those found on most smartphones. The current prototype can allegedly fire up to 1,000 zaps, with each shot lasting no more than 2 seconds.
Zap, zap, zap.
Yeah, can you imagine this, dude?
That's insane.
Yeah, it says, despite its supposed capabilities, the weapon has been described as non-lethal, according to a document released last month to the public service platform for national civil military integration.
Just started on fire is not lethal?
Yeah, I don't know. And so it's deemed the prototype ready for mass production for China's military and police only right now.
So policemen are just going to be
fired? Yeah, I don't know, man, but...
You know, in
crap.
A war, they're going to point that right at your dong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll give you a red dong.
You talk about red dong, we talk about red dong.
I'll give you a red dong.
That's my favorite
crazy.
Movie
That's
from
insane.
The 80s. Yeah. So, anyways.
I don't want that.
The world is mad.
I don't want to get burned.
I don't want that.
Man, I'd rather get shot than get
I know.
Started on fire.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, this was kind of interesting and freaky.
Mm-hmm.
So, I read an article and then went to the CDC to confirm that the article was true.
Mm.
And it was.
It wasn't really?
So there's a new fungus in town, everybody.
Hold up, new fungus in town.
Oh, you got that new fungus, right? So this is a multi-drug resistant fungus.
Ooh.
Candida, so it's in the family of, you know, just your regular basic diaper rash and stuff. But Candida auris. So they named it that from... Actually, when they first detected it, it was from a Japanese lady that had an ear infection that was not improving, and they swabbed it, and they found that it was a new and improved candida.
That's scary.
Anyways, it's freaking nasty. It does not respond to any of the big guns that we use, the azole antifungals.
Yeah.
Doesn't touch them. And then using, what's the other, I can't remember now. Some of the other big, you know, different antibiotics and anti-fungals, like they don't even touch it.
Wow.
People that have contracted it, they had it actually in Oklahoma where they got it under control, but the people that have contracted it pretty much die.
What?
They don't really have any way. And they said it's actually more,
this sounds like the Last of Us type thing.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Right?
What's more, I think fungi... are more creepy because they kill and they live and they're alive.
You become a clicker, right?
But it said, yeah, that's exactly. It shoots your head off.
Yeah.
But they were able to contain it. And basically it's showing that all of these different diseases are adapting and we're getting more super bugs and super fungi.
So do you think it's adapting because of like the overuse of antibiotics or is it just because
partly
it's
that too, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely
that could be
that's
an
definitely
issue.
A cause of overuse, you know. I give out Diflucan for yeast infections all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, overuse. So yeah, I'm contributing. That's what I just told everybody.
Thank you.
But they said it's actually more deadly than Ebola.
What?
Yeah.
That's like a 75% kill rate or something, isn't Ebola?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty nasty. And guess what? It's just arrived in the United States.
Welcome.
Come on fungus. In, Candida.
There's a fungus among us.
But, yeah, so maybe we're going to all get wiped out by a fungus.
Wow. You don't think about that.
Which is the closest to the human... it's the closest organism to humans. So
really?
Basically another human.
What?
Little mini humans.
My mind is blown right now.
Usually they go right for your crotch area.
Yeah.
Wow, so anyway, that's crazy. That's creepy.
The world is mad.
Superman.
Okay, guys, we're talking about fires today. We're talking about surviving house fires, and we're talking about surviving wildfires. We've kind of split this up into two different distinct sections.
Yeah, because some are different.
Yeah, they're different.
Both of them burn everything. But
we're going to start with house fires. I'm going to kind of take you through that. I want to give you a few statistics first to kind of realize that it's a big deal. You got to get ready for it.
You know, I was thinking the last time I had any education on house fires was like elementary school.
Well, yeah, people don't really talk about it that much, and I don't get it.
Watch your mouth. Did you just bring up house fires?
You shut up about house fires. We don't talk about that around here.
Hey. Nuh-uh.
Nope.
But really, I haven't read any new stuff about it.
Yeah.
It kind of freaks me out.
There's got to be new information.
I believe fires have not changed much, but we have ways to prevent them, right?
Yeah, so let me give you some statistics. U.S. fire departments responded to an estimated average 358,500 home structure fires per year. And that was from 2011 to 2015. So the house fires cause an annual average of 2,510 civilian deaths. That's bad. 12,300 civilian fire injuries.
That's bad.
That's also not good. And $6.7 billion in direct damage.
Wow.
So those are not good.
These numbers are high and not good numbers.
These are very disturbing, and I'm concerned. On average, 7 people die per day.
Oh.
7 people. That's more people. I know more than 7 people. Barely.
Wow.
Yeah. Cooking equipment was the leading cause of home structure fires and the second leading cause of home fire deaths. Smoking was the leading cause of civilian home fire deaths.
Wow.
So if you smoke, you're going to die soon from a house
fire.
You're going
to die either from your cigarette itself
or cancer, you're going to die on a house fire.
Smoke. Yeah.
Good thing they're expensive. Good all around, right?
Good. That's a good one.
Yeah. So let's just start talking about some things you can do to help prep for these things. When it happens, what to do a little
bit.
Go
to your local elementary school and see when
they got
to
have an assembly soon.
Standard fire talk comes into play.
And some of that we're really going to talk about, like literally the basics.
I know.
Like it is so basic, but like you have to kind of re up yourself.
Yeah,
on
no, that's why I was like, man, I haven't talked about this stuff since I was little.
Yeah, when you have to talk about it with your kids too. You know, that's the thing. If you have kids, this is like super important.
We're listening to this podcast
because
once we finish. Yeah.
Get your kids in the door right now. We're gonna
get on a magic carpet.
Yeah, we're gonna go on a ride. We're gonna take you on a house fire ride.
Daddy, you swear?
Don't worry about it,
kid. That's not me.
that's another guy.
That's Kobe. That's Kobe, too. Kobe and all his jokes.
Number one, install smoke alarms in your home. It's very, very important. Get the right amount of them because you have to have a certain amount. You know, obviously, to pass code these days, you have to have a certain amount. But how many times does a stupid thing go off in the middle of the night, you rip it off the ceiling, and you never replace it?
Yeah.
Right?
All of them are standard to chirp at you.
Exactly.
At 2 a.m.
Yeah. Oh, what time is it? 1:59. About ready to start chirping. Beep. Yeah, that's
which one is it?
That's what my smoke alarm sounds like looking
which
at his watch. What time is it? Yeah, seriously. And then you can't figure out which one it is. That is like the worst thing in the world, seriously.
Yeah. Remember I busted the bejesus out of the one on my ceiling?
It wasn't even the right one, probably.
I have a high ceiling, and it's just a weird built house. And anyway, the smoke detector went off at like 2, and I couldn't stop it. So I went and grabbed a 2x4 that I'd borrowed from Kobe.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan
and
style.
I freaking smashed it to pieces.
Man.
It just all fell down on the floor at like 2
a.m. And you went back to bed.
I did.
Slept soundly.
There's still a hole up there.
Yeah.
I need to replace that. We're all going to
You need to keep those batteries changed once a year. That way you don't have them chirping at you in the middle of the night. So keep those batteries changed. Test them monthly, they say. So go hit that button and make that go off.
I'm about 12 months past due for testing.
Yeah, I think I am too. And so a good thing when you're testing them is actually show your kids what it sounds like.
Yeah, they usually cry.
It's going to freak them out even more than a fire. I know there's a fire going, but listen to that sound. I just want to get under my bed. You know?
I want to burn.
It's not worth living.
It's too loud.
Let them know what it sounds like and know what to do when those things go off. You know what I mean?
Good idea.
Next thing is make sure you have escape routes. Ensure that all members of your family know at least 2 ways to get out of the house. Because if the front door is blocked, your kid's got to know how to get out.
Well, burn, I guess.
I guess I'll try and dig my way through
the
floor.
I guess I'll get in the fridge.
It's cool in there.
I'll just pull all the stuff out.
Pulling all the shelves out, hopping in the fridge. Hashtag fire safety.
Hot fire chest.
Yeah. I just purchased a brand new fire device.
We got milk and food and everything in here.
I'll live in here for a while. Good to go.
Hope the fire department finds me.
In fact, just start the fire. I'm good.
It feels real nice.
The crisper is really nice. You know? Well, yeah, so just have a couple escape routes. So have two ways to get out, you know, a window or a door, back door, basement door, whatever you got to do to get out of the freaking house. Make sure you have two ways to get out. And also practice exiting your home quickly. I just think it's funny. We're going to practice leaving the house right now.
Quickly. Quickly. Okay, everybody go.
You have 15 seconds to get out.
Kids jumping out windows. And that was pretty good.
It kind of sounds stupid, but leave your house fast.
Just imagine a whole day of practicing everything. It's like, First we're going to practice going out of the house fast for fire. Done. Okay, now we're going to practice. What if we don't have a vehicle and we're going to bug out?
Yeah.
You go that way, we're going to go this way. Just
I'm
all these
sick
different.
Of practicing. The next section I want to talk about is communications. Make sure everyone, obviously, especially the kids, know how to dial 911 if the time arises. And that's a hard thing these days because a lot of people don't have like a landline phone. So if your kids don't have cell phones, you got to teach them how to open yours and dial 911.
Yeah,
you know,
Tony and I, my wife and I talked about that. Of like, do our kids even know how to use? I mean, they obviously know how to use it, but do they know how to call with it?
Well, I'm afraid like my kids will open it and get distracted. Oh, I'm gonna play Candy Crush. You know what I mean?
Hell, it's burning.
The world's burning around them. They're like, I just got like five in a row.
Smells like hair burning.
Why is it so hot?
Ah, my screen. Keeps
it's melty.
All dusty.
Dad, your screen's melty.
It just says overheated. I can't keep playing.
Dad, are you there? So make sure they know how to dial 911. We've talked about this several times as well. Have that emergency plan in place. You know, that will really help in these situations.
Yeah.
Redcross.org, I believe, has some really good ones for you to look at. And they're going to have some things like, you know, where are you going to meet if you all get out of the house and you're not together? You know, across the street or, you know, at this...
Whatever certain, house is not on fire.
Whatever house, go find a house that's not on fire. Go get in bed and go back to sleep. What if the fire spreads and you can't, like, if you're meeting places right across the street, but, like, everybody's house is on fire, where are you going to go? You know, where's the next place to go? Also, who are you going to contact? Who are your kids going to contact if you guys are gone? You know, you're dead in the basement on fire. What are they going to do? Just go outside and sleep on the lawn? You know, they need to know
jump
who
on
to
the tramp.
Yeah, they need to know who to contact. Very simply, teach your kids stop, drop, and roll. Obviously, if their jammies catch on fire, they need to know what to do. Mm-hmm. Teach them to stop, drop, and roll if they're on fire, right? Duh. Very simple.
How does that
You know what I mean? So here's some other tips. Keep items that can catch on fire at least 3 feet away from anything that gets hot. So if it gets hot, don't put stuff near it that's flammable. Idiots.
Yeah.
Smoking materials are the leading cause of residential fire deaths in the United States. So if you smoke, do a few things. Smoke outside. Choose fire-safe cigarettes. Apparently there's fire-safe cigarettes. I don't know what that is.
Really?
I guess.
Are they just the bubble gum?
they're the chalk stuff.
Well, these, I guess there's got nicotine
somewhere.
It's just
somewhere. Like straight nicotine sugar right into your veins.
Vanilla stick.
Vanilla stick.
Which make...
Menthol vanilla stick lights.
Yeah, these aren't going to burn anything.
Never smoke in bed. I know you got that hankering after you did your naughty with your lady. Just go outside and do it, okay? Smoking in bed's bad. That duvet's really flammable.
That was good.
That was good.
Eat your vanilla stick nicotine.
Don't smoke when drowsy or medicated. That's what they say.
That's all Americans
that
are going to be medicated.
Everybody's drowsy and medicated all the time. Or if anyone in your home is using oxygen, don't smoke.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
Especially if it's you using oxygen, don't smoke.
It's crazy how many, like I went to a emergency medicine seminar. There's my messed up word, number one. And like it talked about all of these burn injuries from guys that were COPD.
Yeah.
You know, they'd move their mask and start smoking a bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a flamethrower in their face.
Idiots.
I know.
Seriously.
You can't believe it down their throat and everything.
I'm having a hard time breathing. Let me suck on this cigarette and see if it helps.
I know. I don't know why I got this oxygen and smoking.
I'm really pissed off about this oxygen. Breathing fire. Exactly. Use deep, sturdy ashtrays and douse cigarettes and cigarette butts with water before disposal.
I bet you they all do that.
Every one of them.
Honey, get the spray.
Talk to children regularly about dangers of fire, matches, and lighters, and keep them out of reach. Yep. I always remember grabbing lighters. If I was a lighter around when I was a kid, I wanted to burn something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just did, so be careful with that.
The president's saying there for cigarette smokers, the most efficient way is to flip it to your neighbor's yard.
Yeah. Flip it out the window on the road.
Yeah.
Freaking people, dude. Turn portable heaters off when you leave the room or if you go to sleep. So if you have rooms with, like, you know, space heaters and things like that, make sure you turn them off because those will catch on
fire.
Don't
throw your undies on them.
Yeah, that's bad. Never leave a burning candle unattended, even for a minute. That's what it says.
Honey, it smells good, but you've been watching that all day?
Yankee Doodle, you know, cookie smells real good. But you gotta, I swear that's got to be a flavor. Make sure.
Isn't it? The brand is like Yankee Doodle candles or something.
I don't know. It's probably.
Yeah.
Well, we were coming up with some good flavors one day, weren't we?
We did, yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah. Human hair. Wasn't that one or something? I don't know. Human hair.
After exercise crotch. Oh, that smells
three-week-old gym shorts.
I don't know why this smells good, but no, it doesn't.
Post-marathon gym socks. Make sure your house number is easily readable from the street, even at night. Because if you call the fire department and they don't know which house is yours the one with the smoke or is yours the one across the street? I can't see the numbers, you know.
Your fire burning numbers, I don't know. Is this yours?
This your number's melted.
I'm not
going to
put it out because you didn't call me.
Yeah, so just so that they can find your house because that's a big deal. This is something I guess it makes sense. But,
what's that sound?
I don't know. It sounds like my furnace or something. I don't know. Sleep with your door closed. It will keep the fire and smoke contained if the stuff goes off in your hallway or in the rest of your house. So sleep with your door closed, Cameron.
That's hard.
Is it?
Because we usually keep it open to hear children.
We keep ours closed now. I don't want to hear those kids at all.
Burn it!
Yeah.
Shut it.
Make sure your home heating sources are clean and in working order. Many house fires are started by poorly maintained furnaces and stoves. So cracked or rusted furnace parts, chimneys with, you know, buildup and whatnot. That's bad.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
I couldn't understand what you said that first part. Cracking and rusting.
Cracking and rusting.
Come down here and check out my furnace. Got some cracking and rusting things burning.
Yeah. Use kerosene heaters only if permitted by law. Refuel kerosene heaters only outdoors after they're cooled. Check electrical wiring in your home. Fix or replace frayed extension cords, exposed wires, or loose plugs. Make sure the wiring's not under rugs and are attached by nails or in high traffic areas. Uh-huh. That's bad. All
it
those
is
things.
Bad.
Yep. Make sure electrical outlets have covered plates with no exposed wiring. Avoid overloading outlets or extension cords. Obviously, during Christmas, that becomes an issue.
Stupid dummy.
Yeah, with all your, like, you know, Christmas lights, like 19 in one plug. Christmas vacation style.
Yep.
Purchase only appliances and electrical devices, including space heaters, that bear the label of an independent testing laboratory, all right? Store combustible materials in open areas away from heat sources. Place rags used to apply flammable household chemicals in metal containers with tight-fitting lids. Those things will just, like, catch on fire if you're not careful, just spontaneously combust.
People do that sometimes.
Yeah, you know, inspect your wood stove pipes all the time. Use fireplace screen and, you know, make sure the fire is completely out if you have a fireplace before you leave the house.
Makes sense.
It sure does. It just seems like common sense, really.
It'll put itself out.
Don't worry about it.
Don't even close the window on it.
Yeah, so cooking, obviously, we talked about this. Cooking is a huge fire starter in homes. That's like one of the biggest things. If it's not smoking a ciggy, it's cooking bacon. Right?
Yeah, how many of us have almost started a fire at the old stove?
I have a million times, seriously.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta hurry and get these cookies out with a rag, and it's like
everything's on fire.
Oh, touch the almond.
Just throw it in the sink. Everything's good. So stay in the kitchen when you're frying, grilling, or broiling food. Stay in the home while simmering, baking, roasting, or boiling.
That's
what it says. Yeah,
that's all cooking.
If you're frying or grilling or broiling, you need to stay in the kitchen.
I can't leave here.
But if you're simmering, baking, or roasting, you need to stay just in the house. That's the rule of thumb, anyways.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Keep pets off cooking surfaces and countertops.
No, kitty, stay right here.
Kitty, I'm trying to cook me some ramen.
I want to pet you and cook the ramen.
I got just trying to like pat your head and at the same time, you know what I mean? Pat your head and rub your tummy. You gotta
rub your cat, just rubbing
cat
it over the grill.
Stir the ramen. You might throw, yeah. There's
you might
just
throw
so
your cat tail inside yeah. the old.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah. Keep the stove area clean and clear of things that can catch fire, like
animals
and stuff. Bad. If you're cooking and a fire starts in a pan, slide a lid over the burning pan.
Durr.
Turn off the burner. Okay. I think if I apply more heat to this thing, it's going to go out. It's going to get so hot.
Fuel's going to end up burning out at some point.
Yeah. Leave the lid in place until the pan is completely cool. Moving the pan can cause serious injury or spread the fire. Obviously, it's on fire. Yeah. If it's a grease fire, don't pour water on it, idiots.
No.
That's bad.
Yeah.
You've all seen the videos of people doing that. And you think those people are stupid. Don't be one of those people.
They do.
Baking soda or salt is a good thing to throw on them if you can.
Just throw some salt over your shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on fire. Quick, Harry.
So, spilled the salt. Spilling the salt is very bad luck. So, during a fire, there's a few things you can do. To help yourself stay alive and get
these are what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, exactly. Crawl low or under any smoke to your exit, because heat rises and smoke rises. People, heavy smoke and poisonous gas collect first along the ceiling. This is very critical. Before opening a door, feel the doorknob, like the guys from Home Alone.
Backdraft
or Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone. Remember that? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They learned the hard way.
He learned the hard way. If it's hot, if there's smoke coming around the door, don't go that way, dummy.
Mm-hmm.
That's bad. If you open a door, open it slowly. Be ready to shut it quickly if there's smoke or fire coming through. All right. If you can't get to someone needing assistance, leave the home and call 911. Sorry, honey. I'll call the authorities. You're going to make it out all right.
What's our house number?
Can't see it. It's melty.
It dripped off.
If the pets are trapped inside your home, tell firefighters right away. Oh, I probably should have told you. I got three cats in there. Smells like fried cat.
Jasper was up by the kitchen stove when I was last cooking.
Jasper was covered in ramen and singy eyebrows.
His paws are all burned up.
So, Jasper. Of course, the cat's name is Jasper. I don't know why that's funny. Shouldn't be. So, there's some things you could do to protect the things you own during a house fire. And we're going to talk about that right now, actually. You don't have to wait. We're doing it right now.
There's no commercial right now.
Get a fireproof safe. Those things are fireproof.
And they're pretty cheap, too.
Yeah, you can actually get some really cheap ones.
I've got two empty ones in my basement. Yeah, I don't have anything in them.
Keeping that air inside nice and...
I do not want to disturb the nice foam and plastic.
It's very nice. Or you can even get like the fireproof document bags that we got like from the Battle Box fire box.
Yeah.
One of the fire.
If you get one of those, make sure that you wear a long sleeve shirt when you're putting documents in there.
Yeah, because it's like the fiberglass.
Like a mother.
Yeah. Some things to keep in these fireproof safe or document bag is birth certificates, insurance papers,
birth control.
Titles, property titles. It says peppery titles. I don't know what happened there, but property titles. House photos for insurance of items in your home of high worth.
Peppery titles.
I don't
this
know
is expensive. I bought Pepper Farm.
Exactly. Safe deposit keys, social security cards, passports, financial and tax records, wills, and some cash. That's what you want to keep
cold
in those.
Hard cash,
yeah. So that's a really good thing to keep in there. Obviously, keep some fire extinguishers in several areas, especially in the kitchen, because we know that that's where fires start. In the garage, because you're doing stupid stuff in the garage all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you're smoking your ciggies, that's where you want it. Have a first aid kit that includes burn cream, burn gear.
Yes.
Because if you do get a little house fire, just a maybe a baby one, and you get burned,
yeah,
you want a way to help treat those injuries.
Those are nightmares.
Yeah. Like I said, check out Battle Box Mission 31. That was the fire protection box.
Yeah.
That had some really good stuff.
My medical tips on fire or burn
is it?
Items.
Perfect. Great.
Items to stop burning.
Yeah. So that... That battle box is actually really cool.
It had
a fire mask. It had a fire blanket. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
My fire mask's under my bed.
Yeah, mine's
like gloves
in my nightstand next to me. And
that's a good
idea. Fire blanket on my wife's side. You throw it over the baby and run outside.
or
just put it right over top of him. Tuck him in tightly. Right?
Yeah, he's up there sleeping.
I put that fire blanket on. Figure it's better than being outside catching cold.
I don't want to wake him up. It's hard to get him back to sleep.
You wake him up, you're going to take him. Wake him, you take him. Butthole.
Don't spray him with the hose.
Yeah, don't spray. He'll wake up. He gets ornery at night. Don't know.
If he needs a changing, could you get that done too?
Yeah. I'll pay your salary. But who's going to save that baby? Well, you are, because you're the fireman.
Yep.
My taxes pay your salary, sir. Get a fire blanket and fire mask like we talked about. Those are great to have as devices that will help you. If you have a second floor, you can get escape ladders that you can just throw right out the window.
That's awesome.
They're really small, and you can get them for like $30 on up to many, many bucks on Amazon. So look for those.
I want the top dog fire ladder.
Do you? You want the top of the line? So if you have pets in your home and you want to make sure that they get out alive, you can actually get a window decal for the fire department that says how many pets you have what they are.
Okay.
You put it in your front window.
What if it gets melted?
Well, then I think it might be fireproof.
One, two. There's like three burn. What is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hamsters?
Hamsters.
My hamster farm's burning.
Get that hamster farm.
Get him out of there.
My tarps are melting. You know,
this is a good breeding season. Yeah.
My tactical goat's in the basement. Go get him.
I'm a geese. Geese are getting cooked.
I haven't trained them for fire situations yet. So yeah, you can get that. You can also get, this was something I thought was pretty dang interesting.
This is amazing.
The baby rescue bag. You can get that on Amazon. And what it is a baby rescue emergency rapid evacuation device. Right? So, if you're on a second floor and you don't want to fling your baby out the window at the tramp or whatever it might be to save it, this is a device. It's basically like a fireproof, burn-proof bag you just stuff your baby down in. And it has a rope.
Run and get the babies in there.
Yeah. And it has a rope and you just lower them down.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So, if there's like flames coming out the windows below you, it's all right because you put them in this bag.
Yeah.
And it's good to go. Yep. So, it's like $120. You can save lots of babies with it.
This house burned down, but there's a bag over there screaming and crying.
What's wrong with this bag?
Spray it.
Spray it real good.
Get that soaking wet.
So, anyways, I thought that was a pretty interesting device you
could get. That was a way interesting device.
Yeah. But that's about all I've got for house fires. I know there's more, but I didn't do any more.
That's plenty.
I think that's plenty for us.
Most people haven't. That's enough to you know, they're going to have to struggle with these steps and learn them themselves.
Exactly. So let's talk about wildfires,
Cameron.
Let's do.
So a wildfire is an unplanned, unwanted fire burning in a natural area such as forest, grassland.
I always wondered what the definition was.
Prairie. It's unplanned.
Yeah.
Maybe it's planned. Sometimes it is planned. So just a few non-specific statistics that aren't super helpful. 10% are started by lightning or lava.
Oh, you got a 1 in 10 chance for a lava fire.
90% are made by human beings.
See, people are idiots.
They are. They really are. So the deaths from wildfires in 2016 was 15. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Like in the world?
No, in the U.S.
In the U.S.
2017, I can imagine the world is probably super high. 2017 was 44 in California alone.
Whoa.
I don't know the rest of the world. I didn't care. But
44 Californians.
I mean, that was on the news for like weeks.
Yeah, it was
that
a bad
whole state
fire
was burning down. And that's how Utah is this year.
It is, man.
So just a few major wildfires on ranker.com. So the 2016 Gatlinburg fire. I didn't even hear about this one. This one's kind of freaky. So A mountain resort in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, was consumed by a firestorm in late November and early December.
Firestorm?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Firestorm.
Yeah.
14 people died from the blaze, including a mother and her two young daughters.
Gosh.
So, and some officiator minister. But it burned 17,000 acres and 170 structures were destroyed. About 14,000 people were evacuated.
Dang.
So think about, you know, that's the thing. The most common thing is you're going to just have to, boom, up and go.
Yeah.
And get out.
And that shows you the importance of having
Maybe your
emergency plans and preps ready to go, right?
Right. 130 were injured, 2,500 left without power. So there's a lot that comes from these wildfires, knocks out power, you know, water sources, destroys the land. And then you've got secondary things like mudslides and all that crap that comes along with it. It just messes everything up, not to mention the smoke.
Yeah, it's bad.
What about smoke?
Yeah.
All the lights and the smoke. You remember that movie?
I don't know.
If anybody can name that movie.
All pretty like, wait, what is it? All gold and silvery. Is it that one? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
All the lights and the smoke.
I don't know what that is.
I skipped four bars, and no one even noticed. Okay.
I have no idea.
Anybody knows what that one is. So California, 2017, blazes killed 44 people and burned down 10,000 buildings in Northern California's wine country. An estimated 159,000 acres of land were burned, 535 homes destroyed. Mm. That's sucky.
That's bad.
6,700 firefighters were deployed. The Wallow Fire, 2011, May 29th, 538,000 acres of land, and this was in Arizona and New Mexico.
Mooey acres.
Yeah, 72 buildings, 16 people died. I think that's the one that killed the firefighters.
Is that the Brave movie?
I just watched
that the other day, actually.
I didn't want to, man. It just sucks.
It's actually a good movie.
I want to see it because of the actors, but I'm like, man, I just know what happens. They die in the end. I know.
Firefighters are dead.
Yep.
But it's a good flim. Best flim I've seen all year.
That is a really nice flim.
Really good flim.
2004 Taylor Complex Fire. Mm-hmm. This was in Alaska. This burned 6.6 million acres.
Holy 1.3 crap.
Million acres alone, making it the single largest wildfire in the United States during the period of 97 to 2007.
Good gracious.
And then one other big one. I mean, there's a ton of huge ones, but 1988, the Yellowstone Fire. I remember seeing all the stuff. And
yep.
793,000 acres.
I lived in Montana, southern Montana
really?
At that point.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one, I remember seeing like the forest wiped out. Like my family went and visited, you know, Yellowstone. I was like, holy crap, what's this? 9,000 firefighters attempted to control the blaze, but they ended up just having to let it burn out.
That's crazy, man.
Like it destroyed 36% of the park.
Holy crap. That's insane.
I know. So pretty crappy. Wildfires can be super, super dumb and crappy.
I hate wildfires. I hate all the wildfires in the whole world.
Oh, I hate them. So major wildfires, 4.5 million U.S. homes are in high to extreme risk areas. So that's a lot. 2 million are in California.
Nah, don't worry about them.
Yeah. So if you live in California, you have multiple threats.
Yeah.
From people that live there to wildfires. So one thing that you guys really need to do is go to FEMA.gov media library and get the how to prepare wildfire PDF. I'm telling you.
Is it a good one?
Super worth it. It's not very long, and it's like basically I'm going to go through some of the things in there briefly, but it's excellent. And put it in your Dropbox.
Yeah. Or put it on your prepper device.
Maybe
that you're
staple
keeping
it on your nightstand.
In your Faraday
cage. Staple
it
right, in the top of it.
Of what? Your nightstand?
Yeah, just staple it down.
Staple.
Tack it down.
Tack it.
Put one in every kid's room.
Yeah. Good idea.
But yeah, I thought this was probably of all the things I read, the most concise and had the best like plan and you know how to prepare for, how to prepare during, and then what to do if you're trapped. So,
nice.
Pretty dang cool. So let's get into it.
No doubt.
Number one, you know, sign up for your community's warning system, you know, EAS and NOAA weather radio, have that emergency radio. Power gets knocked out. You can follow along, you know, with how much control, where it's at, where you need to go. And if you're actually needing to evacuate.
Yeah. Most emergency managers and emergency, in for your county, you know, the emergency group or whatever it is. I can't think of what it's called right now. They have some sort of a way that you can sign up for their alerts, and it's usually like by text and by email and things like that. So it's so nice to have those. Yeah. And then also,
false alarm.
Like we've talked about before, too, FEMA and the CDC kind of have those types of apps, too, that you can get alerts right to your phone. So, and
great idea.
Again, near threat is a great thing that we've talked about.
Yeah, near threats, I mean, that's what's been just like lighting up my phone is all the fires are just tons. Yeah. 1 kilometer away, 2 kilometers in your house.
Your pants are on fire.
Your crotch is burning.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay. Patient walked in with crotch fire. And then know your community's evacuation plans, which I don't know. Apparently, they're out there somewhere.
How do you figure those out? You got to talk to your emergency
manager. Talk to them and then make up a plan for your family. You know, if you're on the south side of town, you know, there's going to be a way there. Maybe you're going to go right through the fire. I don't know.
Whatever you got to do.
Whatever your plan says.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency supplies, obviously. If you lose your house, you're going to lose your emergency supplies. But. Mm-hmm. Don't make that make you scared about having, you know. So basically the main thing here is you need to have like your bug out bag and your vehicle, like those things that you're going to like, they're already ready to go.
Yeah,
you don't need to worry
about
those things.
Wildfires are like a really perfect situation for bug out bags.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's because, like you're going to lose your location and it's, you may lose everything.
You might not come back, but you need to have those supplies to get you through for whatever it is.
Right.
If you're going to go to evacuation points or if you're going to go to camps from Red Cross or whatever it might be, you know, you want to have those things.
So that's why you can't just rely on, you know, all of us preferably would have our bug in, you know.
Exactly.
We want to stay in
but
our
you
home.
But all
you
can't. The time.
You have to have that, you know, maybe that bug out location, which we're going to have a podcast on again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then having your vehicle or even work, those things that you can pick up supplies.
Yeah.
Because these people, I mean, they like here in Utah, they got evacuated and they really didn't. The people that were living in these areas that just lost all their homes were, they're kind of like their trailer park homes. I mean, they don't have any fire protection. They don't have grass even.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get water to those locations. So they just like, boom, they lost everything. And so they had to go to a shelter. And people were donating through town, water and all that.
Yep.
It's just sucky to see.
Yeah, the Dollar Ridge Fire, the one that's been going near us, it got pretty dang big. Did you see any of the statistics on it? I didn't really. I should have went and looked.
Either,
but
I should have looked too.
They evacuated a lot of people, and they basically set up an evacuation point / camp at the local high school.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody went
and
stayed.
And there's pictures, like they said, bottles of water. And people were awesome. Like, they got tons of stuff.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make up the difference of, okay, when I leave the shelter, I don't have crap.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah,
so
exactly.
So pretty sucky. So you need to, you know, don't rely on your bugging. You got to have that alternative location, a cache too. You know, there's those locations to store stuff. And then you got your vehicle, your work, your bug out bag, and your get home bag. All that stuff is out of the area and already ready to go. So those are super important. You do want to have, you know, if you don't evacuate, a designated room that's closed off from outside air. You know, you're going to get tons of smoke in the air. Like here, we had a ton.
Yeah, we
and
did.
And that fire is what, like 70, 80 miles away?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Plus we had some up on the ridge, but yeah, the whole, I mean, the valley, it was just stagnant. Like there was no wind and no breeze. And
like,
it was
there
just
was this
like
amber glow pretty much all
like
the time.
Like our pool was like caked with ash. Yep. It was like, man, volcano going off.
And obviously like there's fire seasons. So during those fire seasons, when you know that those fires are more prominent, be ready then. You know what I mean? Be better prepared during that time. Be, you know, ready to go with extra stuff if you have to. Like we always said, your bug out bag needs to be catered to certain seasons, you know what I mean? And to certain times. And a fire season is obviously one you need to be worried about. So if you think you need different things in there for the wildfires, do that.
Yeah.
You know, just make sure it's ready to go during that time.
Right. And that, like some of these locations, like you always think, where's my house? I'm like, there isn't really much brush or anything.
Yeah.
Those houses, or those fires, embers can actually start fires like 3 miles up from the fire. So, I mean, you're really not, if you're in the west, which is like the big areas for burning, you're really not that safe. And if a house starts on fire in your neighborhood, it can just ignite every single one.
You don't know what's going to happen.
You can't stop it.
Yeah, and especially this time of year, well, like this year is much worse for us. It's been so dry
right.
that like, man, you're scared to light a spark outside, like anything. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's crazy.
Seriously, it's like, oh, it's my lawnmower hot. I better park a mile away from my house.
Seriously, dude.
The use, you know, if you're building a home or repairing your home or kind of renovating, you know, look for those fire resistant materials that can, you know, help the fire department get on top of that fire and hopefully save your house. Those are important things to spend the money now on. If you're, you know, if you're in that process of like building up your home, outdoor water source, you know, get a hose that's actually going to reach about 100 feet around your perimeter, you know?
Yeah.
You need to be able to try and find it yourself, one, and having water that's, you know, your water line should be still active. So, you know, as much as you, as big of a hose, everybody wants a big hose.
Everyone wants a big one.
But have it able to reach, you know, the front, back, and sides of your house within at least 100 feet, 120 feet. There's a lot of details in that report of, like, you know, trimming your trees. You want them, like, 2 feet, you know, so they're not hanging and touching the ground, which makes, you know, grass fire just ignite a tree. There's those little specifics I won't go into. You should go check out that PDF. And then make sure you got insurance to cover your home, because a fire is by far the most devastating and you're going to lose everything.
Yep.
And then pay attention to air quality alerts, you know. Just keep yourself safe out there. Okay?
Do it.
And then we talked about having your bug out vehicle ready and having it gassed up, you know, having that prepared to get out, because, you know, you don't want to be half a tank and then trying to get back into town that's on fire.
Exactly.
We get a couple fuel. I need about 2 gallons. So in that PDF, some of the other pretty cool stuff in here was the part that talked about, like, being ready, like, when it starts, you know, when say you, one, you're evacuated, you've got all that stuff ready to go, but you're in your house. We talked about the I want to talk real quick about, like, having your house prepared for and safe from those wildfires. So there's usually, the best thing to do is to mark off zones. You got zone one, that's 30 feet from your home. That's, you know, the closest area. You want to make sure, you know, your roof is hopefully not a flammable material. Your gutters are clear from leaves and debris, because embers just fall in there, perfect to ignite your house. And then make sure around the foundation, you know, weeds and all that crap are cut down. That's the area that 30 feet from your home is the most important to really keep anything flammable away from your house. And that actually says remove tree limbs within 15 feet of the ground within, if they're in that 30-foot area.
In that 30-foot zone.
Zone number two is 30, it's up to 100 feet. In this area, you need to create fuel breaks. You've probably seen them in the forest. You know, they have that big path that's cut. So when the forest fire comes, you know, it hits that. That doesn't have any fuel.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's not blowing. And that's a chance for it to stop there. If you can create, you know, I would just, you know, get a tiller and till right into your grass.
That's a good idea.
Fire break.
Yeah.
Just tell everybody.
It'll look cool. Probably. I think.
You'll look like the safest person on earth.
Yeah.
You till it right up.
Everybody's going to ask about it.
What is that? Well, it's a fire break. I don't know.
You don't got one?
Well, I'm not going to be here when your house burns down. So, but yeah, you know, outside of there, if you don't have a fence and all that, and you're not in a subdivision, you know, that's where you create that fire break. The other thing is, you know, in zone one, if you have a hill and stuff like that, you need to extend this zone beyond 100 feet, because the hill is going to be different with the fire and embers and all that crap. So, and then zone three is 100 to 200 feet. Trying to keep vegetation thin, you know, destroy other houses and other people that live in this zone.
Yeah.
Because they're going to start. And then stack firewood 100 feet away from structures, which is kind of tricky.
Probably
everybody puts
idea.
It right next to their house.
Yeah, they do.
And that's the best place, because in the winter you don't want to freeze your nuts off going, you know, 200
but
feet away. But
firewood in a fire.
That's
burns.
Fuel right there.
That's fuel.
So, anyways, I thought those zones were pretty cool.
I
actually had never looked into that, so check it out.
Do it.
Other little details on if you are trapped in your home. I thought it was kind of cool. You should be able to call 911, tell them where your what your situation is. I'm stuck in here.
Wildfire coming, bro.
Whole upstairs is on fire. Baby's in a bag out front.
She's still crying.
Kids are playing iPad inside. I told them to get out.
Yeah.
Turn on the lights. It helps with the firefighters getting in and being able to navigate through the smoke.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Keep doors, windows, vents, and fire screens closed, and keep your doors unlocked. Shut your door, but don't lock it.
Yeah.
Move flammable materials away from windows and sliding glass doors. Fill sinks and tubs with water. So just
good idea.
Yeah.
I like that.
Stay inside, away from outside walls and windows. If you're in a vehicle, it says, you know, if you get trapped and you're trying to get out, this is a sucky situation here. If you're stuck in there, you know, base your decision of your surroundings, what the fire's doing, you know, you're not safe if the fire's going to, all the trees are on fire and it's going to come right past you. You need to get out of there. But, you know, if you can't stay in your vehicle, it says, try to stay away from fuel sources. You know, don't park to a gas station.
Don't hide underneath the gas tank.
Yeah. So find like a rocky area or roadway that has a lot of fire break basically around you. You know, Walmart parking lot's a good spot.
Sure.
Ain't nothing going to get you in there.
No.
And then, obviously if you can drive near the river, into the river, into the lake,
saving us all.
Kids, get your,
get your floaties out.
And then stay low to reduce the, like if you're in the vehicle and the fire's kind of passing by and you feel like you're safe enough and you got enough room, get down low in the car and then breathe through. Like a breathe through cloth, you know, you cover yourself with like a wool blanket or a coat, even dirt. You can pull dirt inside your car. But if you're outside,
I get you.
You get out there and you just cover yourself in dirt.
Smells like freedom.
Hey, get two buckets, put it in the back seat.
I keep fire dirt in the back just in case I can't breathe in the fire.
Yeah, those sandbags work good for if I catch on fire. Plus, in the winter's great.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And then last is just a few things to, have available, you know, and obviously some of the gear that you want to have, you know, those fire kits for, you know, if you do get burned, have an N95 masks for the family. Yeah. That's the second that's like the 20th episode. Yeah. You need to get those N95s.
If you don't have one, you're not listening.
And then having a weather radio, we talked about that, last week?
Yeah.
What was that
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. If you can, you know, wearing long sleeve and long pants to kind of protect yourself from fire and embers and all that crap falling on you. But other tools, these are kind of cool. I did look into. I haven't looked at like the, I don't know if I'm saying it right, the
McLeod?
McLeod rake, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
McLeod.
Right. McLeod.
McLeod. So this, I've got the McLeod rake.
This rake is like a beefy, it looks like a piece of like a hay swather. It's got the big teeth on it.
Yeah.
It's to help dig up like roots and deep grass tissue to kind of help make a fire break, you know, your regular house rake.
You're good.
So yeah, check out those. Those are pretty sweet. I'm sure you can find a way to use them regularly in your yard.
Absolutely.
You get a leaf rake, you know, that can help you pull away all the crap that starts on fire, the leaves and dried up grass. Pulaski fire axe.
Yeah.
That's that bad sucker that's got a big old like pick on the back and then it has the huge head. Oh, love huge head.
It pushes a zombie killer.
It is.
Yeah.
It's multi-use.
Yes.
A fire flapper. So I hadn't seen us talk to Kobe about this today. It's like a big, it almost looks like a big cookie sheet at the end of a like a hoe.
Maybe you can make your own with a cookie sheet and a hoe.
You can cook stuff on it while fire's out
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
But it...
oatmeal raisin.
Yeah.
Cookies.
So that dry grass and stuff that's on like, you know, the shoulders of the road, stuff like that, that stuff just kind of smolders and it's hard to get, you know, get it put out. But if you got fire flapper, you just flap it. So you just slap it down. It basically removes all the oxygen and puts fire out.
Are you sick of fire smoldering grass? Well, get yourself a fire flapper. The fire flapper. Only $19.99.
Yeah. And obviously a hoe. They're useful in many ways.
Used them all through high school.
As long as you don't marry one, you're fine.
As long as you don't marry one, you're good to go.
A brush hook, it's kind of an interesting little tool to just, it's almost like a scythe or one of those things to kind of cut down. Shovels, obviously, those are super good.
Yeah.
And then I'd never even heard of this Indian back pump. Sounds pretty racist.
I'm pretty sure we can't talk about this.
It's made of a torso of an Indian. But no, it's it looks pretty prehistoric. Like, it's just a big looks like galvanized steel or stainless steel tank. And I guess they're super easy to fill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can just dunk it. You don't have to have pressure. And it has this little pump wand thing.
Like a super soaker?
Basically what it is. It literally is a super soaker.
Interesting.
But I guess that they... those are pretty sweet because you can fill them up fast. They had like the little, it says like the little bearings in there are supposed to be like life proof or whatever. You know, you're not going to break the pump.
Ever.
The pumpy ain't going to break on this one.
Pumpy's good for a long time.
One of the best pumpies you buy. But yeah, check it out. Indian back pump. Of course, it's on Amazon.
Yes.
And then you want a good durable hose that'll reach to zone 2 or beyond.
Mm-hmm.
OSHA approved protective gear. You can go all out.
Yeah, you get your freaking FR
fire
gear.
Kit, wear it for Halloween, and save a life. FR save your gear. Own life.
Mm-hmm.
And then fire shelter, you can actually get those little
bags.
Things like in...
sleeping bags?
Where they're like that tent.
Yep.
It has a little metal frame, and then it pulls over. Yeah, it's like... Isn't it like a sleeping
bag? It looks like
a little
bag.
Metal frame, so you're not touching the
outside. Well, some of them
outside.
Don't even have metal frames. It's just like a tarp, like a fireproof tarp over your head, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually got a blanket. It's kind of like that.
Sort of, yeah.
And then, then we'll get into the medical tip stuff. So there you have it for the podcast.
Yeah.
So
I like it.
Hopefully you're going to be safe from fires.
I hope you are. I hope nobody dies in a fire who's listening right now.
I
hope you all live.
I do too. So real quick before we get to our reviews, survival boxes. I want to talk about them right now. So the survival boxes are the only subscription box packed with all of the essential survival supplies that you need to prepare for surviving disasters, emergencies, or your next outdoor adventure.
Mm.
There are many different boxes to choose from, so you can order the survival food, water, and gear required for your survival plan. Sign up today, not tomorrow.
Right now.
Not yesterday. Today
mm-hmm.
to get your survival boxes delivered to your doorstep every month. No contracts. You can cancel any freaking time you want.
Mm-hmm.
Also, check out the new Mega Survival Box. 6 days worth of survival food. Hey, right there.
Mm-hmm.
You got a box you can throw in your trunk and
good
you
can
get out of wildfires.
Yeah.
Right there. 6 days of survival food, water purification, filtration, storage, all packed into one gigantic survival box. Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS, just like all our other promo codes,
mm-hmm.
to get 10% off your first box. Make it maybe the mega box. I don't know.
Yeah.
So check them out at survivalboxes.com. We're going to show you right now.
Yeah, right now we're going to talk about, we just got a couple survival boxes.
Yeah, seriously.
And we're going to grab them right now.
So even though, again, that they're our sponsor, I will boast about these mother.
Boast the most about these.
These
suckers.
Guys are amazing.
Yeah.
What they do.
So we have the, which one's this? This is the Gear Only XL.
Yeah. So if you don't want food, because you're dumb.
The price on this one is $89.99, but your value is $160. So
Magicians.
I don't know how they do it. Number one is the Seattle Sports Firewater Bottle / Lantern, $18.99. Yeah.
So I could drink and light.
You can drink. And illuminate all at the same time.
You know what'd be sweet? Oh, we should create this. I'm not going to mention it.
Okay.
You could do like a UV light that shoots down.
Oh, that's a good idea. Purify your water.
Don't touch it. Patented.
Patent pending. Casual Peppers. So anyways, that's a cool little bottle plus light. That's actually really nice.
That
I like that.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a good Halloween light.
Yeah. The next thing is the Osage River Outdoor Adventure Hammock, a $19.99 value. Hammocks are a beautiful thing. They're so relaxing.
You know what? If you like a hammock, you're going to love
So a hammock is great. Next thing is the 2-ounce Backpacker Outdoor Adventure Survival Handbook, $6.99 value. And like I say, always books, survival books, I freaking love them. Like, I think they're one of the most important preps you can get.
For sure.
And that one's a tiny sucker.
You don't need no power for this.
No, you don't need nothing. You just got to know how to read.
Ain't going to cost you any energy.
You just can't be a redneck idiot.
Yeah.
You know, just got to be able to read.
2-ounce backpacker.
Yeah, it's awesome. Little tiny book, throw it
in
your backpack.
This is probably 2 ounces, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, you're already done then.
Yep. So the next thing is the M-Tech USA Flag Pocket Knife, a $7.99 value.
Is that this?
Well, is it a pocket knife?
Outdoor Edge?
Yeah. No, it says M-Tech. That's a different one.
Where's that at?
I don't know. It's in there somewhere. It's probably a little guy.
It's not this one.
I don't know. We'll probably find it. It's in there somewhere. Because then we do have the Cricut Tight Tac 2
knife. This is the only other one sitting in there. This is a flip and zip.
Whoa, that's kind of cool.
Ooh.
No, that's the outdoor edge.
And that's in there,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, that's in here, too. Oh, yep. So we also have the Cricut Tight Tack 2 knife. It's a $43.94 value.
Oh, it's a baby.
Oh, it's a little baby knife.
It's a cute little American knife.
Huh, interesting.
Wow. Aww, look at
Jeez
that.
Jeez Louise, there's a lot of stuff in here.
Fat stubby.
Next thing is the Benz Invisinet Head Net. $11 value.
Yeah, this
and
is cool.
That keeps all the buggies off your face.
That's super nice.
Yep. Next thing is the Gear and Clothing Picardin Insect Repellent Spray. $745 value.
It's all this crap in here,
I don't know, man. Again, magicians. Survival boxes.
I don't see
Use our spray. Code Casual Preppers. Magicians. Is it in there?
I got a compass.
Yeah. The next thing is the Silva Pocket Compass and Thermometer.
There's
also a thermometer, so you know how hot it is and which direction you're going. And then the Outdoor Edge Flip and Zip Folding Saw, which we talked about, and then the Survival Knowledge Card.
There it is.
Boom. So
and then here's your Cricut knife.
Yeah, and your Cricut knife, always good. They make good stuff.
They do.
Columbia River Knife and Tool. So that is the gear only box. Fan freaking tastic. You can get that sucker for 10% off if you use our code Casual Preppers.
Then you always get their little survival card
yep,
that
survival
you can add
card.
To your book.
Exactly. Very good stuff. So the next one we got, I believe, was the Alpha. Is that the other one? Is it the Alpha?
Yeah, the Alpha.
So it's Alpha time. This one is $39.99 value or price. But the value of total products is $93.18.
Wow.
Yeah, so take that. You first, like always, you've got two dehydrated freeze-dried meals. Always good to have
beef and mushroom sauce.
Yeah,
that
obviously,
sounds pretty good.
Food storage, plus you know backpacking food and whatnot.
Hot apple cobbler.
Put that in my mouth. Next thing is the emergency water pouches. As always, that you get in there, those are. You know,
sweet.
Invaluable.
Lights, huh?
And then the Seattle Sports Fitness Fire Water Bottle / Lantern again. Then the Osage River Outdoor Adventure
Fire Water.
Fire Water Bottle.
That's fire water.
Drink and illuminate.
That
bottle's
part fire.
And then the Outdoor Adventure Hammock again, like in the other one. And then we have the 2 ounce Backpacker Outdoor Adventure Survival Handbook again. Oh, freaking good stuff.
It is.
And then the pocket knife. And then your heirloom seeds and your knowledge card. So, thank you, Survival Boxes.
Oh, they're so incredible.
Use our code Casual Preppers and you will get some good freaking stuff.
That'd blow my mind.
Yeah. So the next one we have, I'm gonna put it down here, is Battle Box. And I'm not gonna lie, this is probably the worst Battle Box we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
No,
guys,
you have to be truthful.
I was very disappointed in this box, and I know what they're doing. You know,
the point of the box.
It's awesome. It's a great thing. It's they're trying to help out veterans, and they're using all veteran-owned or veteran-developed gear, but there's no survival gear in this pretty much, except for a knife, maybe, right?
So
here we go.
Get to it.
Yeah, let's get
to
it. The basic, the $24.99 is the Tactical Halo Gun Magnet. So this is like a magnet. You can stick your gun.
So all these are built, you said, by...
Yeah, by veterans or veteran-owned companies. So that's basically, you can put it in your vehicle or under your bed, and you can stick a handgun on there, and it's not going to move, right? That's a $19.95 value. The next thing is the AR-500 4-inch gong target from Shooting Targets 7.com.
That's this
$11.90.
Right
no, it's
the
a
bullet.
Target. It's, yeah, it's just a shooting target. There's not really much to look at. The next thing is the Survival Summit Active Shooter DVD. And again, what are you guys doing? Why are they sending DVDs. I can't figure that out.
Do these still have a player?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just, I don't know what they're thinking on this stuff. The next thing is the firearm cleaner, lubricant and protectant, $350 value. And then there's the PVC morale patch, the Just One project, which is a fantastic project, and I applaud them for doing what they're doing. I just feel like this box was very underwhelming. Advanced box, $49.99 cost. Then they have the Rustic Flag Co. Just One Project Edition desktop flag. So that's basically a flag that you put on your desktop, and it looks cool.
It's pretty flaggy.
I guess, yeah. Then the Benshot Bulletproof Just One Project glass. So that's kind of like a glass that looks like it's being shot by a bullet. And then we have the Rebranded Customs CGI RFID Blocking Aluminum American Flag Wallet. And so that thing is actually kind of cool. So it's RFID blocking.
Right here, huh?
Yeah, it's a kind of a cool little wallet. But
that's in there.
Yeah, it is in there. And then there is then you go to the Pro Plus, and then you have the Cricut Clever Girl by jeez, could you make more noise? $99 value for that. But
you think this is church?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, can't make
cool knife. But I gotta say that this is probably the most underwhelming battle box I've ever received.
Yeah, I agree.
So I really hope they up their game the next month. But you know, overall,
I mean, the cause.
Yeah, the cause is great, but overall,
people are subscribing. Yeah, and need
to most boxes are great from BattleBox. I usually have no gripes. This is probably the first one where I've been really, really disappointed.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe delay your. Well, I guess you would get the welcome box, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. The welcome box is freaking rad. So, anyways, that's BattleBox.
Look at that! It's stuck right to it.
The next thing we got was the TAC pack, and we'll get to that right now.
Dead air.
Dead air. We don't like that. Tech pack. So, what we have here is a bunch of freaking awesome AR gear. The first thing is this, well, the SOG Karambit. It's fixed blade Karambit. You asked for it, you got it. Tech pack.
Didn't ask for it.
$40 value. Sweet little SOG knife.
That one actually is the best looking one I've seen.
It is. It's hard to beat a SOG. They're great. Great knives. Love them. $40 value. Next thing is the X-Tech Gun Handler. $20 value. It's an absolute must for those that shoot outside. Use it to prop up a rifle when not in use. Also use it to handle void of an ammo case to use makeshift rifle shooting rest.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a cool thing.
Sweet stuff I've never seen.
So. Is the Pig Lube Range Kit. Oh, so this is a different one. We have another tack pack somewhere, I think.
Do we really?
I don't know where it's at.
I was going to say, we didn't.
We have another one.
I thought there was a gap there.
The Pig Lube Range Kit, $55 value. It's a great gun cleaning kit, and it comes with a bunch of lube and really good stuff for perfect for a range bag or rifle case and stuff like that. Cool little kit.
That is a cool kit.
And then we have the Tac Pack Wallet Tool. It's kind of like a credit card tool, and it's great for EDC, and it's a $15 value.
Kind of like that.
All that for $50. So use our code Casual Preppers to get your freaking Tac Pack, guys. Freaking awesome.
Get them right now.
Yeah. So obviously lots of reviews today, but we've got a lot more gear actually to review. Obviously, we can't get to it because we got way too much stuff. You know what I mean?
It's time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right. It's going to be super quick. So I talked about burn care already in episode 20. If you want to go back and listen to how to take care of burns, basic, casually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just some of the items I think that you should really consider to have in a burn kit. And I think it's important to have a separate burn kit because there's a lot of different types of bandages that you just don't carry normally. And, burns are like the worst thing to deal with. I hate when they come in. I'm like, really? Ugh, what is it going to need? And how, I can't really give you much relief. And they're just complicated. And I hate them. They're stupid and dumb.
I hate all the burns in the whole world.
Hate all the burns in the whole world. Whatever accent that was. So here's a few things. If you can get, from somebody, maybe a nurse or a provider willing to prescribe you a little tub of Silvadine, there's some conflicting evidence showing that maybe some other antibiotic ointments are superior. But we still use this one like crazy, and I still think it's important to have. It's like a silver-based, sulfur-based ointment that it's real shiny white. It helps protect. It's kind of soothing, and it's helps prevent infections. So get you some of that. Other ointment, bacitracin. You could use Neosporin. I kind of like something more like bacitracin. It's a little cleaner, or Polysporin. It takes out the neomycin that some people can react to. So get you some of those ointments for sure. Honey. I talked about that being it's sterile. It's you can coat the wound and help it to heal. It's actually an excellent thing to have. Mm. It's tasty too.
Yeah, it tastes
maybe
so good.
You want a bear to lick your wound. That'll help heal it up.
Whatever.
So honey's a great thing to have for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. Then sterile water. If you can get a container that's already sterilized and things like that, just kind of store it away near your burn kit. That would help a ton for when you're changing and kind of irrigating the wounds or keeping them. You know, when you change the bandage all goopy and cleaning it. Different types of gauze and bandages. This is the thing I wanted to mention. I talked last week, I think it was last week, about the Duoderm and the Adaptic and those. The Duoderm is like it's a hydrocolloid dressing, so it won't stick to the area that's burned and moist. It actually just seals all the way around it.
That's awesome.
And it's thick too, so it protects, you know, that open skin. It helps keep bacteria out. It actually keeps it moist and somewhat helps promote the granulation and all that. So those are sweet, and you can get them over at Amazon. He's just, you know, Prime Day still going, I think.
Yep.
Bandages, well, it won't be when you get this. The gauze, you get nonstick gauze because the last thing you want to do is peel everything that's your body's been doing off when you change it. Changing that bandage, check it every 24 hours. If it's kind of really soaked and goopy, change it. But otherwise, about every 48 hours to change that. Adaptic is that like mesh that's kind of laced with Vaseline.
Yeah.
It's like a little mesh netting that you can put over and then put your bandage on it. It helps a ton to prevent adhesions. There's also some that's called Jello Net and Mepitel. I haven't even seen those, but they're like they're kind of the same thing. A mesh kind of netting. It's got a gel based ointment on it that kind of soothes and protects the wound. Water gel was a lot of what BattleBox sent.
Yep.
And they have some awesome stuff. They have like complete facial bandages that fit over.
Holy moly. Can
soothe and protect your face. You know, if you get just like that first degree, just your face is just like on fire all the time. You have a way that it just fits on there nice and perfect, and you can get it. You know, they're in a package. They got huge ones to cover your entire back.
Wow.
So check them out, and I'd throw a lot of that in there. You can get a cold spray too, you know, that's got a little numbing in it. Aloe vera is always a really good thing to have too. And then the complication with burns is dehydration.
Oh, really?
If you can get, you know, for serious ones, obviously you want to seek medical attention. But if you can't, you want to get an IV started in these people that have been severely burned. So having a saline bag or lactated ringer or something like that and learn how to do that. And then instruments, obviously, if it's real bad and crusty, nasty, you're going to debride it. So you want some good scissors, medical scissors, and some forceps and stuff. So just some specific things that I thought were important to have in a medical kit that's maybe labeled your burn care kit. And, you know, you can even buy them like this. But those are the items that I would have in mind. And I think that you do want those things kind of separated out, so that you can, you know, address those wounds without digging through all your other crap and find out that bandage was horrible and it's stuck and it burns. And anyway, so check that out. Check out some of these items.
Awesome.
Again, I still do want to get up on the website. Since I had these items on this one too, I'm going to do them together. I'll have kind of that burn kit, some of the items to look at, and then
links to them or something.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Cause it's all on Amazon, which is insane.
Yeah.
So yeah. Look for those and don't get burned. Watch out for wildfires.
All right, guys. Appreciate you guys listening. Please subscribe to the podcast. Please tell all your buddies and friends about what we got going on here. And
we love to do it. Yeah. And we really want people to
listen.
To be smart.
Exactly.
And we're going to make you super smart.
Exactly. So we'll see you next time, guys.